بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، والصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وصفيه سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وآله الطاهرين المعصومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى أرواح التي هلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. الله says in the Holy Quran, وَلْتَكُنْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَلَى الْمُنْكَرِ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And from among you, there should be a group who invites to good and enjoins what is right and forbids the wrong. They're the ones that shall be successful. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about Amr Ma'ruf and Nahi Anil Munkar. This is a very important subject, because Allah says in the Holy Quran, if you want to be successful as a community, one of the things you have to do is enjoin the right and to forbid the wrong. Allah says, a group from among you, minkum ummatun, a group from among you to do this. In Islamic law, there are two types of obligations. One obligation is called the farun ayn. It is an obligation that is ayn in itself. It is something that is incumbent upon all of us, such as prayer, such as fasting, and so on. Then there are other obligations that are incumbent upon us as a community. It's called fard kifaya. The community needs, for example, ulama. And as long as a community does not have ulama, it is the responsibility of every single one of the community to try to make of him or herself an alim to provide for that need. Or a community might not have people who could wash the dead, prepare the dead body for burial. It is incumbent upon the whole community for someone among them to take that responsibility. And to the extent that that responsibility is fulfilled by individuals, the whole community will be absolved of that responsibility. But as long as that responsibility is not filled, then the whole community is responsible and they're guilty of a sin. And Nahi al-Munkar, Allah is saying that this is a fardh kifaya. There's something incumbent upon the whole community. Until a group among us does this. The interesting thing is that with respect to Amr Ma'ruf and Nahi al-Munkar, most of the time we don't know who is doing it. This whole issue of fardh kifaya has a subjective aspect to it. It depends on your particular perception. It relies more upon that than it relies upon the objective reality. If you do not see ulama around you, and you think your society needs ulama, this is a fire kifaya upon you. There may be ulama, but if you do not know that they exist, or if you see the results that are consequent on the lack of ulama in your environment, then if you do not try to encourage others and encourage yourself to perform that task, then you are also guilty of neglecting a very important role. So, Amar Ma'aruf wa Nahy al Munkar, enjoining the right and forbidding the wrong, is something then that is incumbent upon all. Something that is incumbent upon all. And it makes sense that it is a fire like a fire, because if, for example, as a group of people, we see somebody doing something wrong, many times it is not necessary for all of us to try to correct that person. It might be necessary for one of us to correct that person. If none of us do so, then we are in trouble. So we have to be prepared for this. This rule presupposes two things. First of all, it presupposes a system or an environment of ignorance, that people don't know what wrong is and do wrong thinking that it's right. And we have a lot of cases like that in our society. Many of us, some of us who were not Muslims, or some of us who were Muslims and were off the path. We know that, for example, in the society that we live, there are people who think that going to a pub or to a tavern or whatever you call it is something normal, something desirable, even. These people are not overt sinners as such. They're not people who deliberately flaunt the teachings of Allah. These are people who have just been brought up in an environment where right and wrong has been confused or completely distorted. One case where Amr Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar can be applied in a situation, or it presupposes a situation where people are ignorant of what is right and what is wrong. In such a case, then, the person who is exhorting the right and forbidding the wrong, that person has also an educating function to take on, to show people that the actions and conduct that they pursue are wrong, and why they are wrong. They need to be shown the consequences of this act that they do, because these acts would definitely have some kind of negative consequence in society. So you want to dissuade people from drinking alcohol if they think that drinking alcohol is something fine and okay. You have to show them the negative consequences of alcohol as part of your exhorting the right and forbidding the wrong. The other area that it presupposes is that wrong is actively pursued as a right. Wrong is actually pursued as something that is correct. And in this case, we see good examples in our contemporary history and also good examples in the past, where, for example, today we see that the many of these major powers in the world today resort to things like untruths, resort to things like constructed propaganda in order to convince their people to follow a wrong path. A very good example of this would be the reaction of Western powers after 9/11. Indeed, the very act of 9/11 itself was something that was highly suspect, something that they themselves could have concocted in order to get people to support the brutalization of another third world country. We live in such an environment. These Western societies are very, very expert in the area of social psychology, and they use social psychology in order to influence people to do their bidding. So when we look at it deeply, we realize that Amr Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar is something quite sophisticated. It does not simply mean alone talking to people and telling them to do right and stay away from doing wrong. It would require us to act in very different ways, in different levels of sophistication, depending upon the level of the problem that presents itself. If that problem is on a social, a deep social level, it requires also deep and profound social action. Now Allah says in the Holy Quran that the people who do Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar, the people who exalt the right and forbid the wrong, they are the ones who shall be successful. Why is it that they will be successful? First of all, the criteria for exalting the right and forbidding the wrong is the criteria of the Quran. The criteria of the Quran. It is not the criteria of sociologists, it's not the criteria of psychologists, it's not the criteria of political analysts. It's the criteria of the Quran. And since Islam is the religion of our fitrah, it means that what we are saying or what we are encouraging people to do is something that would resonate within the very beings, the very souls itself.